I believe that we can now start.
Translations.
Yeah. So I'll ask people, the headset that is in front of you is for translation, so please put that on and turn it on.
One, two, three. I hope that you can hear me. This is the English interpretation on channel two. One, two, three. I hope that you can hear me. So, channel two for English interpretation.
One, English is two.
Okay.
Thank you. It's one, two, three. I hope that you can hear me on the English channel. English channel, channel two. Good. I believe that we can now start. I'd like to, first of all, greet all of you in the room, the delegation who we receive today from the California State, and the members of the Parliament of the Committee of Environment, Energy and Land Planning. And just to give you an information for your future interventions, as the Vice Chair of the Environment Committee, I have the honour and privilege of presiding over the session in the absence of the Chair, who will be with us at the end of the session. The parliamentary groups and the Members of Parliament, which will put some questions, the Socialist Party, the Social Democrat Party, the Bloc Chair, the leftist bloc, and the PCP, the Communist Party. I'd like to make a brief introduction of our committee. The Environment Committee has the main competencies in the area of environment, energy, and land planning. And concerning the environment, we particularly focus on climate change, on the mitigation of the effects of climate change, conservation and biodiversity, and water resources in terms of also water supply, sanitation, control pollution, including greenhouse gas effects, air quality, and a series of other competencies within the environment. These are the most relevant. In terms of energy, in relation to the energy policy, biological resources, particularly its integration in environmental policies. In land planning, we deal with land planning, urban planning, particularly the national policy for land planning, the National Agricultural Reserve, and also the strategy of the applications of national community funds within the under the dependency of the Secretary of State responsible for the environment. As you probably know, it is a great honor to receive you to discuss these topics. In Portugal has strongly investing in climate change, renewable energies, and fortunately, we are a country which, in terms of the territory, in terms of availability and conditions for wind energy, we're very favourable, and also solar energy, and also complemented by water energy, which is essential to have some good conditions. Fortunately, Portugal has amongst the best conditions for renewable energies. This investment and in renewable energies is obvious because we are a country without oil, without fossil fuels. This is a predominant investment to promote energy autonomy. So we're very honoured to have you with us and to be able to share some experiences, because I'm certain that we all have a great deal to learn from you, particularly the representatives of the State of California. Let me just say that from the California State, we have members of the state government, members of the state Senate, and also Sorry, the speaker interrupts himself. So let me put an end to this small introduction. Thank you again for this session and for this visit. Now I would pass the floor to the delegation of the California State. You have the floor.
Good afternoon. It's so wonderful to be here. I am a Portuguese descendant. It's my first time to Portugal, and my heart is full. I want to thank you for hosting us, and we will learn so much in the next couple of days about Portugal and how we can share, how we can collaborate, how we can learn from each other's lessons. And I am just honored to be here today to with my colleagues, as well as my private partnerships that are here as well. I would like just to take a moment to introduce you to some of the incredible people that I work with at the California State Assembly. I'm Cecilia Aguiar Curry. I represent Northern California, the Napa region, which is a lot of wine. But I have six counties that I represent, 500,000 constituents. And it's very challenging, very progressive, very conservative. So you always have to be very careful on how you do policy in my area. I would also like to introduce, and if my colleagues, as I call your name, would stand, I'd appreciate it. I have Assembly Member James Cooper. He is also on the California Employees Retirement Plan. He's instrumental. He used to be a police officer, so he gives us some really good ideas on policy. Heath Flora, who is Vice Chair of our Natural Resources Committee. We have Laura Friedman. She is our Chairman of our Transportation Committee. Chris Holden, our Chairman of the Utilities and Energy Committee. And last but not least, one of my favorite, don't get upset anyone, is Assemblymember Jim Wood, Dr. Jim Wood, and he's in charge of the Health Committee. With that being said, I'd like to turn the microphone over to my good friend, Senator Hertzberg. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thanks to everyone for extending this gracious invitation to us in this historic building that so many of folks that came before us dealt with their challenges of the day. And here we are as our generation dealing with our challenges of the day. My name is Robert Hertzberg. I am the Majority Leader of the California State Senate. Before I talk about the senators, we have some representatives of the governor's administration of California, Governor Newsom, who are here, very important people as part of this delegation, as this is both legislative and executive in its approach. First is David Hochschild, the chair of our California Energy Commission, is right here. Spent 20 years in the solar energy business and is very knowledgeable in the space, critically important in implementing so many of our policies relating to energy. Serena McElwain, right here, the Undersecretary of the California Environmental Protection Agency of the Governor's Office. In our state, we have two houses, unlike here. We have a Senate, like in the United States Congress, and Assembly, which is the House of Representatives. As the Chair just indicated, each member of the Assembly represents 500,000 people. I know that you represent the entire body of the country, but your constituencies are informed by electorate. Ours, we actually represent 500,000 people in the Assembly, and there's 40 senators, 80 Assembly members of 40 million people. In the Senate, of course, with 40 million people, each of us represent 1 million people. We have very important representatives from California here today, and I want to start with Josh Becker, who's the Vice Chair of the Joint Committee on Climate Change. Senator Becker represents the Silicon Valley area of California that many know. Andres Borges, where is he? He's the Vice Chair of the Agricultural Committee and represents Central Valley with a large Portuguese population. And Nancy Skinner, the most important of all of us, even though I've got the big title, she represents Berkeley in the San Francisco area, and she's the Chair of the Budget Committee, and she got to spend a couple hundred billion dollars extra this year, and we are all into her debt. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we are all grappling with this extraordinary challenge. I served some decades ago as Speaker of the California Assembly when your Prime Minister came and addressed us in the California legislature. I believe it was in 2000. But we've had a strong and important relationship, and as we are facing these challenges of what we have to do to protect the next generation, to protect the globe, we draw, as politicians, artificial lines in the sand that we call nation states at this point in our history, or cities, or states, or counties. We have over 5,000 subdivisions of government in the state of California. At the end of the day, we have one planet. We all share it together. We all harmonize together. And we are here and part of that larger mission to learn from you. Wind technology, we're going to go see some of the offshore wind that our Energy Commission is very interested in, and to continue to share ideas and learn from each other as we all seek to protect planet Earth, because as Sternberg says, there is no planet B. And with that, thank you so very much for including us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Well, let me just very briefly say thank you very much to our wonderful facilitators at the U.S. Embassy who helped arrange this meeting. I really appreciate the help of Daniel and Giscard, so let me just give a good shout out to them. It's an honor for the foundation to be able to bring our elected leaders and our business leaders and environmental and labor leaders with our delegation. We'll be here for 13 days. This is day four. There's such a love of Portugal already just in our few days that we've been here. We're very much looking forward to exploring the rest of the country and learning more, and we've already shared a lot with many of your fellow countrymen, and we're looking forward to the next 9 days. So we've got a lot more exciting things to do, a lot more bacalhau to eat and good wine to drink, and we've really enjoyed it so much, and this is a very special opportunity for us to something that's so important for us to talk about climate change. And we're coming to Portugal because you're leaders. And so thank you for the opportunity to meet with you and to share ideas. And we'll look forward to building a partnership that we hope can last our lifetimes and the lifetimes for our kids and people past if we do our job right.
Thank you. Now let's move into the next stage of the representatives of the parliamentary groups. I'd just like to give you the information. I believe that you already received this information despite the Portuguese parliamentary system only has one chamber, which represents the whole of the population of Portugal. This room, well, in fact, we no longer have a Senate, although this room is called the Senate Room. When Portugal had the two chambers, this was supposed to be the Senate Room. Although nowadays we do not have the High Chamber in our current political system. Now I'm passing the floor to the most representative parliamentary group, Member of Parliament Alexandre Quintanilha from the parliamentary group of the Socialist Party.
Be welcome. Let me start by saying that having lived in Berkeley for two decades gives me great pleasure to welcome you, Nancy Skinner. as former and one of the first assistant directors of the Energy and Environment Division of the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab from the mid-70s to the early 90s, and director of the Center for Atmospheric and Biospheric Effects of Technology, also at LBNL, I was able, with my esteemed friend and colleague Art Rosenfeld, whom you probably know very well, sadly no longer with us, but also with John Holdren, Sam Berman, Steve Selkowitz, Mark Levine, and many others, help launch many research projects in energy conservation and efficiency at the forefront of many of these areas. So you can understand what a big pleasure it is to have you here today with us. This has to be very telegraphic, and I would like to leave you with two questions. Obviously, that have been determined by some of my background. The first one is to try to understand what is the current situation regarding the efficiency use of both energy and water in California, which I know has been a huge area of study for many, many decades. And the second question is slightly ironic. I would say that given that after 25 years of Conference of Parts, these COPs, and the fact that during all of this time, CO2 levels have not only continued to grow, but have done so at an increased rate, as we can all see, what are California's strategies to adapt to climate change, because it's likely, very likely, to actually take place? Let me end by saying that given that the area of California is 9 times that of Portugal, but we're in the same latitude and to some extent similar climate, and that Portugal has an exclusive economic zone of almost 2 million square kilometers, including the Azores and Madeira, and you are particularly interested in the exploration of energy in the sea, what are the important areas? Or let me say, I believe there are many important areas for future collaboration, both in research and innovation. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. Só dar a informação.
Thank you. I'd like to give the information that the chair of this committee is rather with us, and as soon as we finish this session, he will be sitting on my place. So the parliamentary group, the Social Democrat Party. You have the floor, Mr. Carvalho. Thank you, Chair.
Welcome all of you in English, and please accept my compliments, our warm compliments in Portugal. But please understand that I take great pleasure in speaking to you in Portuguese, so I'll continue in Portuguese. Bom, em primeiro lugar...
Firstly, let me say that this delegation has a significant importance for the development of a common policy for energy transition, which is a very necessary goal at a worldwide level. Thus, given it is a collective effort, any initiative which will allow the most developed regions and the big economic blocks in terms of energy consuming can help this energy transition and put into effect the environmental policies. We know that the changes will certainly be very positive for across the world. So the Social Democrat Parliamentary Group considers this initiative and your presence amongst us for such an important delegation of the State of California as another gesture of an effort which not simply concerns the State of California and Portugal, but which is much needed for the whole world. It would be quite interesting to hear your visions, your opinions, in particular in relation to the possibility that in a phase-out period, in this transition period, which normally takes place in energy transition, what is the strategic interest of the port of Sines, which has a role to play, so that we will be continue to use less polluting energy sources down to completely renewable energy sources. And naturally, the port of Sines represents a connection which can be significantly relevant for the United States and also strategically relevant for Europe, considering that other alternatives of gas supply within the phase-out period are located geographically in places which, in geopolitical terms, are not the best for both Europe and the United States. Another point I'd like to call your attention to, and to conclude, Chair, is the fact that Portugal probably represents, together with Spain, a location which strategically is privileged for renewable energy production. And in this respect, it is a place where this production can't serve the rest of Europe. in terms of the definition of public policies in Europe, so for the energy, for the production of a renewable energy. And as you know, production is not, yes, completely satisfying demand, existing demand. It means that Portugal and Spain, and particularly Portugal, which has these public policy strictly devised a long time now, Portugal is a privileged place for an investment, which in practice does not merely supply the demands of Portugal, but the demands of a great part of Europe as one of the most developed economic regions and which consume more energy.
Note to thank you all for your presence here, and I hope that you can come back to Portugal and that the rest of your visit here will continue to be the most wonderful visit. You will see that between Portugal and California, we have a lot of things that are similar, but please allow me to say that our Portuguese food is the best. Please try the Portuguese food.
Thanks, Mr. Carvalho. Now we're going to be listening to blocks with Mr. Nelson Parada.
I want to greet everybody that is here visiting us. I represent Left Bloc, that is a party here in the parliament, the third biggest. Our focus is in social equality, but also in ecological transition. And I would like to do some questions about some stuff that is very similar in California and in Portugal. One of the most, Portugal in Europe is one of the countries that have the most risk on climate change, on the forest fires and also on the floodings because of the sea rising. I guess that in California, at least the forest fires is very, it's a central problem, as well as the lack of water. And there is a similarity between the economics of California and the new economics of Portugal. California is the main producer of almonds in the world. You produce 80% of all the almonds in the world. In Portugal, okay, we are a bit smaller, so it's not that numbers, but we produce much of the paper for Europe, and so our forest is built with trees from Australia that are not suitable for our climate and that have a high risk for forest fires. And nowadays we are starting also to have the same kind of, as you produce almonds, we start to produce in the same way olive oil, not in a traditional way, but in a very industrial way. And so this means that we need to put much energy to transport the paper from Portugal to the rest of Europe. We need to put much energy to transport olive oil and other productions for the rest of the world, as for almond in California. And that creates two problems. One is, how can we change this economy that to be more diverse, to have less impact in the place, because almonds, as our agriculture nowadays and forest, produce much impact here, produce much risks for climate change, namely the forest fires and the lack of water. And so how can we change that economy? And how can we create an economy that can be more local, where what we produce is consumed locally? Because we think that it's very important that we change our energy from oil, that is something that we should keep it in the ground, and we should not do wars on it, and we should, of course, go to renewable energies, but we think it's also, we need a more bigger transformation in the world to change the way how we produce and consume goods, to produce it locally and more sustainability. And I think those two things are very similar in California and in Portugal, because our economy is built in the long range commerce, and that we think should change. And only to finalize that, to greet you again, we think the solidarity between the people is very important, and that we need a more democratic and social world, and also in our part a more socialist world. Thank you.
Muito obrigado.
Thanks, Member of Parliament, now going to be listening to the representative from the Portuguese Communist Party, Aldo Ribeiro, going to speak in Portugal. I'd like to greet you all on behalf of the Portuguese Communist Party. We'd like to greet you and welcome you. We hope that this visit is meeting your expectations and, if possible, even overcoming your expectations. The problems and challenges that we face are global challenges. They require, besides local actions, an exchange and international cooperation. So it is always important to share our realities and to get to know other action plans. I'd like to share with you that in Portugal, we are going through a very important moment, and we're currently discussing the framework law for climate. This is a moment when we have to have an objective look at what is behind us and to understand the predatory way of using resources that the capitalist system requires, such as inequalities, and they do not serve the objectives of social justice nor climate balance. So we do have many challenges and a great deal of work ahead. We wish you all the best in your work, and we hope that we can advance in something that will be fairer for our common future. Thank you. Thank you very much, Member of Parliament, Mrs. Rivera. And to conclude these interventions, to represent the party Animals and Nature, Ms. Sousa Joel.
President, it's Party of People, Animals and Nature. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like, in the name of our parliamentary group, to welcome you for your presence and thank you very much for being here. As in Portugal, California has also suffered from extreme weather events, and the challenge that the climate crisis brings us are common. And we cannot fail to express our solidarity with the catastrophic fires that the state of California has been suffered, especially in the recent years. Indeed, our territories face very similar challenges with the effects of the climate change, fires, droughts, water scarcity, desertification, and the rising sea levels, with the submergence of vast coastal areas. Therefore, this meeting is particularly relevant, where we will be able to exchange experience for the challenge that we have ahead. Our party proposed in this parliament, in our climate bill, that the maximum priority of and urgency that must be given to an elaboration of a climate change risk atlas, so that based on this scientific knowledge, rapid action can be taken to adapt our territory to climate change. We would like to know your experience and also your opinion regarding to this importance, mainly because of the risk of the sea level, the forestry and water reorganization to combat desertification and guarantee the existence of drinking water. So the first question I would like to ask you, whether the state of California already has such a similar instrument as well, has short, medium, and long-term action to plan to adapt to the territory to the effect of the climate change. Secondly, I would like to address you very specific questions about the policies that the state of California has pursued, namely, is there being planned to be done regarding the submersion of the coastal areas? Have cost benefits, for example, analysis been carried to determine whether the best option would be the relocation and of infrastructure and short-term engineering strategy, or any strategy regarding the availability of water and drinking water? What is the opinion that you have been pursued or being considered regarding this issue? And finally, regarding the fight against the desertification, has California been betting on forest reorganization? What actions have you been implemented or planning to implement in this matter? I end by thanking you once again for your presence. It's a pleasure to be able to share our vision and experience with your committee, because we have a common issue to protect our common home, and we can only do that on achieving a common night and global efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Member of Parliament. Let us now move into the conclusion stage, and I would like to invite my colleagues on the table to briefly comment the interventions of the different parliamentary groups, and we will then have a coffee break afterwards. You have the floor.
Thank you. I took notes, I think, of most of the comments, and if you will give me about 6 hours, I think I can give you some good answers to all those questions. Whether it's adaptation, we saw the issue of adaptation and water, the issues of less pollution, the issues of the ports and the challenges that that creates, capitalism being insensitive to the bigger issues of climate and the like, the animals and nature, adaptation. Let me start with a couple of thoughts, because what happened just real on a personal level, I left government for 12 years, and I was Speaker of the House during the energy crisis when the lights went out. And it caused a deep think about how do we deal with these issues? What are the policies? We in California at the time the law was written really had a hard time even dealing with renewables. It was very challenging because we hadn't thought about it in any deep manner from a public policy perspective. And so I traveled the world and worked heavily. And I think the most important point I can make here is whether we come from a subnational government in California or we're here in this very esteemed hall in this very old democracy and country of Portugal, that we all have this common humanity, that every question that was raised here today are questions that we grapple with. And unlike certain challenges that we face as public policy makers, this one's in common. We all live it together. The question about are we really, you know, with the COP26 that we're about to go to, are we really reducing the numbers? Well, we brag about how we reduce the numbers, but quite frankly, it doesn't matter if the ships that are coming into our harbor are spewing particulate matter from those that bunker fuel that they use. It doesn't matter if the amount of water we use for almonds is so great that it's so turned upside down and the cost of moving that water from an energy perspective is the same way. So what I find as a student of history and someone who's been around this business for a long time is, as Chair Cecilia Aguiar-Curry said, my heart sings. My heart sings because as so many of us in the next generation, I'm the last generation, the old guys around, but there's a real energy and there's an interest in these questions, and that there's hope that we as citizens of the world can fix these things. You know, if you look back at Portugal and big whaling communities and the Azores and the like and the importance of whale oil or salt as a preservative, we are now facing a new challenge. When the cars first came out, something like 80% of all cars ran on steam. They ran on water. And then the politics of the oil companies changed that, and we went to internal combustion engines. And now we're going to electricity, and we're trying to figure out how we can make cleaner electricity in the process. So all of us are here with inquisitive, creative, inquisitive minds to try to learn from each other, which is a big thing. And we have a lot of these policies that you've referenced, but they're not that good. We have to make them better. We've got new senators here that are deeply concerned in this process, members of the legislature and you. And the only thing I would disagree with you on in terms of local's important. But I think that when you, and I'll finish here, when you deal with the issue of climate change, it's important to have understandings and interrelationships because we live on this shrinking planet. Think about what our parents and grandparents did and how little they moved around, how much we move around. We snap our fingers and we're here in Portugal studying with you. So I think that the idea of us all being in this and together is a very big thing. We can certainly localize all sorts of issues, but at the end of the day, what we're grappling with here as students of public policy, as inventors and creators of the future, are figuring out how we do this together and to learn from each other. And the second you come up with a good idea, our job is to steal it and implement it, and the same thing vice versa, because we're all doing the same thing, trying to fix the planet with new technologies, new ideas, new approaches, and that's the most important thing, that we're in this together. So I try to take a broader view of this because I've been working on this for decades, thinking about it a lot. And, you know, we've really made some extraordinary progress, but in the scheme of things, as you mentioned, you know, it's nothing. And we've got to move faster and bigger and better.
Thank you, Bob. There's so many things on this list. We could, like the senator said, we could be here forever. But what I do know is there's hope. And the hope I have sitting here today is all of you that it spoke up, all these young voices. Because my generation has destroyed. We did not do our job. The baby boomers, we took advantage. And now we need to fix it, and we need to clean up the climate, and how can we do that? And so why I'm here today and why I'm in the position I am is because I want to change. I want to leave a better world to my children, my grandchildren. And if we don't do that, it's going to get worse. I want to hopefully, in my time, is to make sure we can stabilize what we have destroyed, what we have done, so that you, as the young people that are here, can help improve. My district was totally on fire. Assemblymember Wood, raise your hand. We fought fires for 5 years, and it broke my heart. Completely broke my heart to see what it's done to people, the inequality we have found along the way, that people are still struggling today. They still don't have roofs over their head. We've got to stop that. There's nothing worse than going to a fire and have families crying, and you take them to their home and there's nothing left. A lot of it's our own fault. I chair the local government committee, and there was some rules and regulations we should have adhered to, that there's a road that could go in and out to a community, but when there's only one way and there's a fire, it just takes up a whole area. There's a lot of things that I've learned in my short period of time of being in the assembly, which is 5 years, but it can't continue. It just can't continue. This past year, we've seen the hottest summer that I've ever seen in my entire life in the community I live in. Why? Is it because of the fires? Is it because of CO2? I mean, what is it? But whatever it is, it's wrong, and we need to figure it out. And it's very frustrating to me because I think that we have let down my children and my grandchildren. Now's the time to fix it. I also farm. I farm almonds and walnuts. So it's ironic that you brought that up, because right now we're the difficulty of doing imports and exports of fruits and vegetables, perishables, in and out of California into the rest of the world, because we don't have a good supply chain. And we have a lot of work to do on trying to get that taken care of and making sure that our ports are clean. And that discussion is always with manufacturers, agriculture, labor, trying to come up with a resolution that we can get our products from point A to point B in a better, cleaner way to do that. Well, like I said, there's a lot to talk about here. But I will say is that we have short-range ideas. Throw money at it. Not a really good plan. We've had a lot of hard time with the fires, and so we've done a lot of cleanup, bought new equipment, got more labor, but that's not the entire answer. We have to have a longer plan, and we attempt to do that every single year, trying to make some good policy, and we have not always done, I think, the best job or a comprehensive job. Build a foundation, I say, and from that foundation, build up even a better plan, because we don't have sometimes even a good foundation. So I just want to thank you. We have some experts with our group that can talk at length with many of this. We have a Department of Energy here. We have private businesses that are here, too, that will be more than happy to share some of their knowledge and where they're going with their businesses as well. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you. There will certainly be many more things to discuss and many more experiences to share. I'd like to thank you very much, delegation of the State of California, to thank here the members of the panel, and to thank the members of Parliament, and finally to conclude the session formally. I'd like to pass the floor to the chair of this committee, Mr. Curtos. Thank you. I'm going to speak in Portuguese since we have a simultaneous interpretation. I hope that you can fully understand me. First of all, I'd like to greet all of you who are in this room and to say that it is a great honor, it's a great privilege to welcome you in the House of Democracy. It's a house which is open to pluralism of ideas, and we have here many different interventions, social and political. And this is what we hope to always have in this House of Democracy. Allow me an apology for the delay. It is related to the fact that I travel by train. I come in public transportation, and sometimes the trains are not running on time, so this is the reason why I was delayed, and I'm really sorry for this fact. I hope and I wish that this meeting, even although it had been very short, we never have enough time to discuss these questions, which could be a motive for sharing more knowledge and information. But I hope that this meeting has pleased you, and that has contributed in terms of information, in terms of knowledge, and in terms of experience. It has contributed to enriching this common question, which is the deepened knowledge of how we can be more active in defense of the environment. Above all, these meetings, and I hope that your stay in Portugal will be very fruitful in terms of the sharing of knowledge. But as I was saying, it's very important that these meetings and these visits should be inspiring for new approaches and for different methodologies according to the different experiences that you have. And we have, in Portugal, we have strenuously worked around this topic. And we hope that we will soon adopt the framework law for climate, which allow to create conditions to be more objective and initiate more actions to attain common goals, even realizing that sometimes local interventions are needed. The problem is much more global than local. And if there is not a concerted action between the different countries, and in the concrete case of California, which you represent, if there is no common awareness of the need for a different intervention, the work that we develop at a local level may not have the desired effect and do not attain the desired goals. These subjects should be considered in terms of a common home at a global scale, thinking that there are influences can be local, but which have a consequence in another part and in another region of the world. It is under this global rationale that should always be present in all our reflections. Let me tell you quite honestly that there is well time that we have a different moment in history. We had the times for reflection, for realization, for scientific knowledge, but right now we need to act. Action is needed. It's time to act, because what is at stake is the defense of our planet as a common home. As we normally say in Portugal, well, we don't have a planet B. So this planet is the one we have to save. And this global goal should be what we have in mind for all the political actions, be it in Portugal, California, and in other regions of the world. Lastly, let me say that it is a great honor as a chair of this committee to welcome such a highly represented delegation of the State of California. I'm sorry that I'm not going to mention you by name. We have representatives of the state government, of the California State Senate, of the State Assembly, of directors of different companies and groups which are highly representative of the political politicians in this state. So finally, it's a great honor to have you, and I wish you that you have a wonderful visit, rest of the visit to Portugal. Thank you.
Muito bem, sendo assim...
The session has now come to a close, and I'd like to invite you to for a coffee break, which will be held on the corridor nearby. Thank you.